So introducing myself a little bit, Ron Schrock from over at Seymour. And so I was asked here to talk about the anatomy of the board. And I have never taught school. I have spent a number of years on the board. There's a few different people here that I have served on the board with. And I value our time doing that. A board is a great way, a great place to build really close relationships. And sometimes that comes through thick and thin. Okay, before we start here, why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Our Father in heaven, just thank you for your blessings to us here this morning. Thank you for each of these, the board and their wives that are here, and as we discuss and talk about the anatomy of a healthy board, just pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, open our hearts, open our eyes, our understanding, say what we should say and not say what shouldn't be said, Lord, and just pray for wisdom in that. And just pray that you would be with us. Ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so they handed out papers to you. You're welcome to, if you have things that, so this session here is going to be introducing the anatomy of a healthy board, talking about it. And then this afternoon session will be open discussion, open forum. And so I would love to know if there's questions or something that you would like to have explored this afternoon, if you could fill those questions out. Thank you. And maybe I'll send this around at the end of the deal. Also, if you want to jot down my phone number on the top of that paper that you have there, 417-880-3053. So if you think of a question later that you would like to be brought up and talked about, also it can be questions out of the early afternoon class. Laverne, is that who is having that one? So you're welcome to put them in there in regards to that one too, or text something, and then we'll be, this afternoon's class will be, you know, be throwing it open for question discussion. But it would be really nice if knew some of those ahead of time to have a little time to think and maybe get together with Laverne and discuss some of those. So what is the anatomy of the board? Anatomy is a study of living, a study, okay, so sometimes after you get 50, you can't see anymore, is a study of the structure of living organisms, including their physical parts, internal organs, and how they relate to each other. When I think about the anatomy, I think it about the organs that make and control the organism. When I think about that relating to the school board, I think about all the different parts of the board working together, doing what needs to be done without personal agendas for the good of the children, parents, and the church. So first of all, what does the board consist of? And as I think about this, think about a healthy anatomy of a board. I've made a list of things that I think about that is important for the health of the board. Now, I kind of tremble as I share some of this stuff because I see my own weaknesses real clearly, and I have a former board member at home now that I have been on the board with quite a bit that he could fill you in with a few more of my weaknesses. And so I'm going to say this very carefully, but if we don't have a goal, if we don't have something we're working toward, if we don't see some of the weaknesses, if we don't see some of the problems that come up in a board, we're probably not going to work on it, and we're probably not going to be real effective. But one of the first things I think of is that they need to be men who have a vision. If we don't have any vision for the school, then we're probably a kind of a pathetic person to be on the school board. But we need to have a vision. And why is this important? Have you ever served on any committee with other people that have no interest in what's going on there. And they really don't want to be there, and they don't make any, they just don't put their heart into it. That's pretty depressing. So I think that, first of all, should be a prerequisite to someone being eligible for being on the school board. And what does a vision do for a person? Or more importantly, what does a lack of a vision do? The dictionary says about vision is having a vision provides a sense of purpose and direction, helping men define their goals and decisions aligned with their aspirations. It helps create a roadmap for achieving those goals, breaking them down into smaller, manageable steps. A clear vision also acts as a filter for distractions, helping men stay focused on what truly matters. Vision plays a role in personal discipline and self-control by providing a clear path to follow. For those in relationships, sharing shared vision with a partner is important for building a strong foundation and moving forward. A man's vision can also influence his interaction with others and how he approaches conflicts. We heard a lot about conflicts this morning, and I think everything that was shared there about the conflicts in school could actually really go to the board. The only difference here is that you're not working with a bunch of young children who are real malleable. Maybe it's dealing with a bunch of men who aren't so malleable sometimes. And I found it interesting as he talked about the two different kinds of people at the table. And I think maybe a good thing for us as men to understand on the board is where we fit in that spectrum. If we're the one who wants to just crawl back and curl in a shell and not say anything, I think we need to work on that real hard. If we're the one who wants to get up on the table, I think we need to work on that real hard, because one side we can fuel the fire, or we can stifle something that really does need to be dug out and worked with and talked to. It's also needs to be a group of men who can work as a team. Now, I'm going to steal Team Ranch's slogan here, but a team is together, everyone achieves more. Yeah, I put that right. Together, everyone achieves more. So what does working as a team mean? Well, first of all, what it doesn't mean is grandstanding. And what it doesn't mean is having a chairman take control and having yes men on his board. What it does mean is being able to bring issues and problems to the table and being able to discuss it. It needs men of focus. Now, I know this kind of really overlaps with vision, but I think it needs to be mentioned anyway. What does focus entail? One thing maybe is being able to stay on task, not just easily distracted. Being able to think with the big picture in focus. And in saying that, do you know what your school's mission is? Do you have a mission? Do you know what is your only mission is teaching your children how to read and write and do arithmetic? Or do you have a much bigger mission? I mean, that should be part of your mission, is teaching children academics. But if that's the only thing you're there for, you're leaving a lot of things on the table, I would say. Being able to think with the big picture and focus. Sometimes we can get so mired down with things that are urgent that we fail to focus on the things that are important. It needs to be men of integrity, men who are good for their word, men who are responsible for what they're responsible for. It needs to be men who can communicate. They need to be able to give their opinions without scorning or degrading and others. It needs to be men who are mature and secure in their relationship with Christ. I think that probably should have been the first thing. But how does this play out in board meetings? I think one thing it means is that when I share my opinion and the next guy over totally disagrees with me, I don't get offended and bend out of shape. I don't wear my feelings out here on my sleeves, and I don't go storming out of meetings or get really silent. I don't think you can put enough emphasis on that, because as we as a board get together in a board meeting and we're discussing, we have issues at hand. If there's five in that board meeting, or there's four, five, or six, however many there is in that meeting, there's going to be a lot of difference of opinion. And it is important that those opinions can be heard. And I don't know what the best way is to handle that. I think a good way can be to go around and every person speaks, maybe around, and every person speaks again. But they all have to be adults, and they all have to understand that they're going to disagree with each other, and there's got to be a lot of compromise, and there's got to be a lot of working together. Because if you start having a lot of personal feelings involved and a lot of personal agendas, it gets really, really, really rough to go forward. And if you have to be extremely worried about what you're going to say, because you're going to, and I'm not talking about not being kind, I'm not talking about that, but people do they have to be able to speak their mind. That's what they're there for. It needs to be men who are officially responsible. How do we handle the school's finances? How do we raise finances? And I don't know how each of your church handles this, and I don't know how involved your boards are on the financial stuff as far as the school. That is handled differently in different groups. I will say this from the standpoint of my years on the school board. Probably one of the times, there's several like really high points and really low points. Which, if I didn't tell you before, I thoroughly enjoy being on the school board. I'm not on the school board now. Probably will never be again, just because life circumstances have changed some, and it's just probably not my calling anymore. But it is probably those years spent on the board are I love being on school board. But probably one of the lowest points, and the time when I felt like it absolutely sapped all the energy out of me, was when we realized at that point the school board wasn't just like really heavily involved in our school's finances and church finances work together. At that point, it didn't work. It didn't run together, but the school, the board was not nearly as active in knowing exactly where the finances were as probably what we should have been, and realized about in November that at the rate we were going and what was going on in January, we were going to run aground on finances. And we started taking a serious look at what it was going to take. And there have been a lot of things that have played into this to make for the reasons that this happened. But we had to make some serious changes. And we had to walk through some very troubled waters. Whenever you come in and present people with hard facts, you also open yourself up for a lot of criticism and a lot of places for where, you know, there's a lot of people think that somehow there had to be a possum in the woodpile somewhere. And it really wasn't. It was simply a matter that there was not nearly enough money coming in for the money going out, and there was a lot of things that played into that. But that was probably one of the toughest times, and I don't like it when a school board carries a school board, there's a lot of visionary stuff that needs to be done with the school. There's a lot of focus needs to be put on. There's a lot of day-to-day. Now, if you happen to live in a community that's big enough where you have an on-site administrator, it makes a lot of difference. But if you're like most communities are, you're probably operating where the school board is also somewhat in administration. And most all of us have another full-time job. We have families. We have everything else that goes with it. So that is a tough one. And a lot more could be. I don't really intend to delve really deeply into that. But it does need to make men who are officially responsible. They need to think before just let's spend money. Let's do this. Let's do that. Now, I don't know how you all handle one of the things that was asked to talk about a little bit is how you bring new board members into the group. I'm just going to say how we do it. Obviously not the only way, but our board members are voted on by the church, nominate out of a number of nominations from the ministry. And so our new board member is voted on. We have, Brian, how many members do we have now? Five? Four. And each spring, a new member is voted on. And then in the fall, just before school starts, when the board member would fall off of that rotation, that spring member then becomes a full member. He had from the spring, from February or so until August, he had time to just sit in on board meetings and get to kind of know what's going on. And the goal there was to give a little bit more time to be involved in it and know what's going on before you were a full-fledged member, rather than getting voted on just before school started. So I think that has worked quite well. So, obviously, the reason we have a board is to provide the implementation of visions and directives from the church and the parents. Sometimes we as a board can develop the mentality that it's our school, and in doing so, we can be tempted to promote our agenda. We have to remember it's not our school. We're a servants of both the church and the parents. And to provide that atmosphere, I just really appreciated what was shared this morning in that discussion. A lot of ways, I kind of feel like the board is maybe the oil in the crankcase. It's what's there to keep all the gears swinging and moving. So I mentioned something about talking about board meetings and how decisions are made. I'm trying to keep mine more that the discussion this afternoon, Laverne's going to be talking more how with the board relating out. I'm going to try to keep this more in the internal workings of the board. So I'm having to kind of jump through my stuff a little bit because I took some things out that I had planned on kind of talking about. But what does a healthy, productive board meeting look like? I've seen board meetings where you get together at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you're trying to get out there at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, and I don't like board meetings like that. You do have to have time to go through things and talk about things, but it is really easy to have things get maybe just spend a ton of time on things that are not really very important. I'll just give some things that were given to me one time to help with a productive board meeting, and it's something that I have followed a lot when I was on the board. And one of the things that we have found very helpful, and I guess they probably still do it, is having a board chat group. a way for things to be, there is a lot of what I'm going to say very minor things that as the chairman, you don't want to just be making the decisions and not have the rest of the board involved in the decision, but you know it really isn't a big deal, and you know it doesn't really matter that much. So teachers bounce stuff off of you. Rather than bringing a lot of this stuff and bogging up a board meeting to go through it, a lot of things can be handled simply through a group chat. That could be handled through a group email. It can be handled through a group chat or whatever you have. But we've used that a lot. You know, teacher, if simply mentioned, teacher wondered about this or this, or this or this came up, and my suggestion is to handle it this and this way. Does anyone have any input on it? And that way everybody is knowing what's going on. They're not coming to a board meeting and all of a sudden there's something there that they didn't know anything about. But you don't end up taking up 15 minutes at a board meeting on a discussion of something that really wasn't a big deal. Another thing is have an agenda. I used to try to have the agenda out to the board at least 2 days before the board meeting. And I would tell the board meeting, I'd tell the board members ahead of time, if you have something you want put on the agenda, please get it to me ahead of time. Excuse me, ahead of time. And then I would take that agenda and pass it out to the board ahead of time, that here's some of the things we need to discuss. Maybe give a little background on it, this, and this. Whether you do that through an email or hand it out by paper or whatever. But then break that agenda up into categories. I kind of thinking maybe of three different categories, and you know, at times you may have different ones, but things that are urgent, things that are future, and then maybe things that are visionary. So, if you're coming to a board meeting in August or September, and you want to talk about a few things about field trips, you know, they aren't going to hit here on the urgent. They do need to be discussed. We need to start, you know, maybe there's things that need to be planned. And if you're planning going to Jeff City and you're planning going to the Capitol and you're planning doing all that, when do you start making your plans? Probably about August, you know. And I don't know how you all are finding it, but we're finding field trips can get to be a really big challenge anymore. And the things that we had available to us to do with on field days, when I was in my first years compared to the last years, you had just so many places. And then COVID killed a whole lot more of them that we used to go to. But things that are urgent would be, the teachers really need a decision on this after this board meeting. We really need to talk about them. So we have these items. One thing I forgot. So, well, yeah, we're talking about the agenda, so I didn't forget it. So we have those listed out. Send them to the, maybe a thing that would be on the visionary would be, we like to think about something different in curriculum for next year. You know, future could be, you know, we're really needing a new swing set at the school. These aren't, it doesn't have to be decided at this board meeting, but
these things got to be decided here.
And so get that out to where your board can look at that and think about it. It was very frustrating to me. You know, I'm one of those guys that he was talking about in the talk this morning that's going to be up on the table. Okay, I'll just put it out there. Brian's one of those guys that's going to slide back from the table and run away. We had to learn to get along. But I'm one of those guys that's going to get up on the table. And it was very frustrating to me to come to a board meeting without an agenda. And then I come and we start talking about the agenda. And I had thought these items all through. I knew what I thought about them. But the rest of the board sat there and looked at me. And I got really frustrated at them. And then I realized they didn't have any time to think about it. I had had time to put it through to process it. They hadn't had any time to think about it. And that's one thing where I found that if you get that agenda out to them ahead of time with some background, they will tend to show up at the board meeting ready to discuss it. Now, the other thing is that when you get together at a board meeting, and you get together at that, let's say you meet at 4 o'clock. The first item for discussion should be is this is going to be over at 7 o'clock, if that's what you decide, if that's where you're at. This is going to be over. Okay? Case closed. We're going home. 7 o'clock or before. There's something about knowing that helps keep these items in between here moving. Secondly, if you have 6 items to talk about here in the urgent, if you give each of these items 15 minutes of discussion, that is an hour and a half. If one of these items comes in here and shoots an hour, you know, you start understanding what you do between here and here and start putting some structure into that. One of the things that we found pretty helpful is that if you have 6 items to jump in here and you mentally have in your head that you don't really want to put over 15, 20 minutes in each of these 6 items, and if item number 1 starts getting out of hand, I mean, you just see you're shooting way too much time on this thing. As a chairman, just say, hey, look, we're getting way too much time in this item. We're obviously not coming to a conclusion here. Let's stick it on the shelf. Let's go to item number 2. Let's start working our way down through. Maybe from 1 to 6, maybe you'll stick 2 and 4 on the shelf. And then come back and hit 1 and 4 again. And by now, everybody's been toiling for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and maybe that's a good time to take a break. Come back and hit this item 1 and number 4. It can be amazing how fast item number 1 and number 4 can resolve themselves if you strategically, you know, bring them back and say, okay, where are we at on this? You know, all of a sudden, somebody that was diehard that it had to be this way and somebody else that it had to be this way, they're suddenly kind of both ready to kind of come and meet in the middle on it and come to a resolution. Future items. You know, it's real easy to spend your whole time on the urgent. But somehow I get a space in there where these items get a little bit of discussion. Just talked about a little. Visionary item, you know. Teacher mentioned that they think that we're not strong enough on our reading program or doing this or that. And, you know, hit it a little. I've always been kind of amazed how from one board meeting to the next, and you kind of bounce these items, and you kind of bounce these items, you bring them up again next time, stick them on that future visionary. And they have a way of kind of stimulating some thought in between, and pretty soon those can kind of do pretty well at taking care of themselves and hitting resolution before they hit urgent. How many of y'all have a school handbook? Bless you. The rest of you, start working on it tomorrow. Let's see. I had something that I wanted to bring in on that. So I want to talk a little bit about roles in here, and it kind of brings that into the thing a little bit. Chairman, secretary. What does it mean to be a chairman? I think it's extremely important to have delegation of roles within your board. And I think it's very, very important that understanding that if you're the chairman, you're not doing one of two things. You're not either doing all the work, and you're not making all the decisions. The role of a chairman, in my way of seeing it, is someone who is there to see to it that there is organization, to see to it that things get done, to see to it that things get delegated, and to follow up. One thing that I might mention here in follow up, I think one thing that's extremely important here in your agenda. Now, I've been at board meetings where I felt like there was a lot of time spent on this, maybe a little bit wasted on it sometimes, but I think it's important that it's brought up, is that at each board meeting is that you take a little bit of time to do an update from the last meeting. And that update is, we had action items from the time before. We had this, 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 and this. I'm going to pick on Brian here. Brian, did you get so-and-so taken care of from last time? Brian gives a bit of an update. Did you get so-and-so taken care of from last time that was on your responsibility? There's an update. It brings a sense of accountability and responsibility. If you know that you're coming to the next board meeting and you're going to get called on and ask if you took care of this or if you started making these arrangements for field trips or you checked into this about curriculum or whatever, I think that's extremely important. Secretary, proper bookkeeping, good notes. And this is where I'm going to come to the thing of the school handbook. I think sometimes we can... I've been on the school board three times, three-year terms. Each time I was off for, I think maybe one time 2 years, maybe one time 3 years in between. What I never ceased to be amazed as I came back on school board after being off was we come to board meetings and we start talking about something and we start trying to figure something out that we had spent a lot of blood, sweat, and tears 4 years before going through. And you had to rehash this with a whole new set of people running through the whole thing again simply because we didn't have a good method, organized method, of bookkeeping and knowing what decisions were made before. I do not believe that our theme song on the school board should be Glory Hallelujah, I Shall Not Be Moved. We have always done it this way and we're always going to do it this way. But I do believe that we can save ourselves. We can keep our role of being school board members from becoming firemen by simply keeping good records about decisions that were made before, and so you have a turnover of people and a turnover of things, a new teacher's role in, and I'd like to do this and this, and I'd like to do this and this, and can we do this and this, and we have this situation and that. And we had been through that whole thing before. There is so much strength in being able to come back and say, when they come ask, and they want this exception, or they want to do this, or they want this to happen, or that to happen. And all of a sudden, we get a list of 10 things on the urgent list. And they're not urgent. Instead saying, well, let's see. This was talked about before, and this is the position we came to. Now, it's not, a lot of these things aren't a matter of right and wrong. they're more a matter of setting precedent and what is it a good idea, isn't a good idea, what's it going to do. And so if a teacher comes and asks for those kind of things, we don't just say no, but we can say, you know what, the decision was made back here to do that. You know, if you really feel strongly about this and you really like for us to address this and look at it, we can. But for now, that's the decision. It takes it away from this immediate crisis. And the thing that's interesting, too, is if you address it that way and they do want to make a change and you really go back and you kind of discuss it, it hits in this future thing, right? It's not urgent, it's future. Probably the teacher is probably not going to have any big changes until at least the next year. So now they need to be committed to teach the next year before they bring this up too strong. And I'm not trying to squash. I want teachers to bring a lot of feedback and talk. But I don't like when first-year teachers try to come in and turn the thing around because they can't seem to wrap their mind around it. And so it obviously would be better to change it. I don't know, y'all never have seen that. But it does seem to happen. But my son is an administrator in school in Oregon. And he said that they pretty well tell him the first year you need to learn how to teach. And, you know, by the second year, we'll, you know, you can start bringing ideas to the table. But, you know, we want to know you're vested in here. We want to know you're committed into it. So that's what I'm going to say about the school handbook. If you don't have a school handbook, start creating one just by properly logging the decisions that you're making at the school board meetings. And over a matter of 5 years, you'll probably have one. But one thing I would really encourage you to do is if you don't have a mission statement, I would really encourage you to wrestle with that as a board, as a church, and get a mission statement and have that be at the head of your... I think it's just extremely important to look at everything that you come to through your mission statement. Because it will often help break that thing apart. So what happens? You know, I'm going to confess one of my greatest weaknesses. And I struggle with this in my business. I struggle with it on the school board. But I'm not a real systems person. And I tend to, my wife's great frustration, I make knee-jerk decisions. And she is a very systems person and thinks everything, I think sometimes the way overthinks it. And so both of those have their strong points and weak points. But you know, one thing we learned as our business has grown larger is that systems reduce a tremendous lot of stress. Systems doesn't mean it always has to be that way and it always has to be done, but it gives a normalcy. It gives a level of expectation. Your teachers know what they're doing. And so anything that you can do to develop, to put systems together, and it really keeps, like I said, from it turning into a firehouse where we are. Have you ever felt on the board like you're just spending 90% of your time running after the next fire? You really can't take time to think about this because this just piled all up. It's probably because of a lack of systems. It's probably our own fault because we, not always, but it's probably because So, touching one thing here more about board meetings. How do you get to a decision at a board meeting? I have two things here. After applicable discussion, there should be a system of reaching a vote. One method that I like is once it reaches a point is someone makes a motion, someone seconds it, and then having a voting. If you feel like you're just too far apart, maybe it needs to be tabled till the next board meeting. And I know I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. There has to be trust in the board meetings. If you're sitting in the board meeting and you're discussing something that's very touchy and personal, you're talking about somebody's child, you know that there's potential feelings that are, you're dealing with things that are very explosive. You're sitting here as around this table's a board. Remember, you're going to own the decision whether it works out or not. And you know, I have decisions that I own as being part of boards that I'm very happy with. And there's decisions out there that I'd like to stick my head underneath the bench and cry about. Because later, more information, more things, and you look at it and you go, that wasn't a good decision, that we shouldn't have done that. You own those too. You own those too. And remember that as you sit in that boardroom, that is where everybody has to speak. And as men, I think it is extremely important for you to be able to go and discuss this thing with our wives. And I think this stuff should be private between us. And that information, who said what in behind those closed doors of the board meeting, should not be public knowledge. You should be able to speak your mind without fearing your fellow board members. Even if you're the only one in there that disagrees, that's the place to do it, right there. And even if you need to get up on the table, no, you shouldn't get up on the table, but even if the feelings are very strong, that's the place to disagree. And that's the place to discuss it. And that's the place to finally reach a point where there's a consensus. And that is not ammunition to take and shoot at your fellow board members, to other church people. And yeah, well, most of us want to do this and this and this, but he didn't want this and this done. And, you know, sometimes even when there's a vote taken finally and there is a disagreement, that is a place for us to submit to the brotherhood too. And after applicable discussion and a vote's been taken and we walk through those doors and we walk in out, we need to walk out as a team. And maybe we don't just 100% agree with it. I have a feeling that in a lot of ministers' meetings, there's not 100% agreement when they come out and they face and they talk to the church. And there's not going to be important meetings. And but that's what we're there for. So I think our time is pretty much up here. If you have anything that you would like particularly discussed, like I said, either I'll pass this back through. If you know now, or you're welcome to text it to me later, or give it to me later, or whatever. And